The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, all right, it's Thursday. I promised you Thursday would show up, and I predict Friday will be here tomorrow. Here is just a little bit of a rundown of some of the stories we're going to maybe talk about this hour. We've got so much, again, avalanche, a tsunami of information to try to process, to coordinate, to sequence and format for you every day. It's an enormous undertaking. I've never seen anything like it. The tax burden, when you factor in all the other issues related to the plandemic, is equal to a 70% rate. And it's crushing many Americans who are simply unable to even come close to thinking about paying what they're going to be demanded to cough up. This is truly incredible. Another story in headlines, helicopter money and the end of taxes. How about this one? The coronavirus lockdown, the plandemic, planned lockdown, is going to end up blowing at least a $28 trillion hole in the global economy. That's the visible damage in terms of economic measurements and so forth. Half of all American workers, goodbye middle class, they're gone, made less than $34,000 last year. Half of all Americans earned less than $34,000 last year. There's a very good story by the brilliant Chuck Baldwin. It's called A Lie Pitched from the Pits of Hell. And he writes, the World Health Organization and Centers for Disease Control, otherwise known as the WHO, and CDC, who together orchestrated the biggest global fraud in world history, and who put the entire planet on military and police lockdown, suffering in millions of lost jobs, millions of people thrust into poverty, millions of people becoming prisoners in nursing homes, and even their own homes. Unbroken, unbelievable numbers of broken families, ruined careers, and suicides. And that's something that's going to increase markedly in the months ahead, weeks ahead, the days ahead. These are part of two reports that shatter the accepted coronavirus narrative fostered by both of the organizations mentioned, WHO and the CDC. First report, very briefly, The World Health Organization has finally confirmed what we and many experts and studies have been saying for months. The coronavirus is no more deadly or dangerous than seasonal flu. The second report, just a teaser, you can read the article, I'll put it up. Buried deep in the second document, this is a CDC document, on page 39, in a section titled Performance Characteristics, we have this, writes Chuck Baldwin, quote, since no quantified virus isolates of the 2019 novel coronavirus are currently available, assays, diagnostic tests, designed for detection of the 2019 novel coronavirus RNA were tested with characterized stocks of in vitro transcribed full-length RNA. The key phrase is, since no quantified virus isolates of the 2019 novel coronavirus are currently available. Now, how can they even say that? As a joke? After all these months, since last January, when it was formally observed that we had a big problem? That's 9 months, 10 months, and they don't have a demonstrable virus to show people? All right, gang, you can connect the dots there. Let's welcome our dear friend and one of the most brilliant people, men, women, and those others on the planet, Charlotte Thompson Iserby. Welcome back, Charlotte.
Yeah, hi there, Jake. I just didn't want to...
No, not, I'm not Jake. Jake is Klyschek.
Yeah, by the way, here he is. I hate to tell you, he's in my bedroom. You didn't understand
what?
That.
This
yes,
is a family program,
bedroom.
Charlotte. A family program.
What? Yes. I'm sorry. I'm not... Pardon me? What?
It's a family program, please.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Well, he is so crippled at the moment with terrible... I don't know what he's got, but he knows what he's got. But he's on the other phone, so you don't need another number for him. But
okay.
He would like to just have a few comments.
All right, well, let's bring him on, yeah. And he can tell us about his book, and then we'll say goodnight to Jake and thank him for being here. Jake, thanks for being here. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, Jeff. I came here to take care of Charlotte, and now I have sciatica just suddenly, and she's taking care of me now. So thanks for having me back. And
you're welcome. About a year and a half ago or something. It's been a long time.
Yeah, the book was still sort of in the making. I finished it now. It made its way up to 20-something on Amazon's bestsellers.
Oh, congratulations.
And
you know, the book could have made it just on, I think, on the virtue of its title. Great title. School World Order. School World Order. I mean, this is it. This is how they did it. Charlotte mm-hmm. documented all of it in her book, Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. And this is a wonderful, we could call it a masterful addendum to that that world-recognizing conspiratorial tome of hers. School World Order is how they did it. Yes. Tell us more about the book.
Broken down into two parts, you've got the privatization or the corporatization aspect that looks at how they're turning public schools into public-private partnerships through vouchers, charter schools, tax credits for savings, and things like that. Then the second element has to do with technology and how that plays a role in facilitating the public-private partnerships, so changing academics to workforce training facilitated through psychological conditioning technologies, in particular the Skinner box technologies, and then evolving those algorithms into artificial intelligence and then transhumanist brain-computer interfaces.
Well, this is the last, this Generation Z, or Zero, is the last natural-born generation that we'll see on the planet. The next generation will be genetically modified in the womb. It'll be a GMO organism for its entire life. It'll be continually tweaked and played with in terms of its own genetics. It will be Generation GMO. That'll be the next one. This is Gen Z now, the youngsters who are being made cannon fodder by Antifa and the BLM communists. They're so damn dumb, they don't know which end is up. 25 years of age and under, that's usually it. You look at the pictures of these so-called rioters, and you'll see them all over the place. Okay, so the book takes from Charlotte's incredible book the mechanisms, and you've woven them together in a very understandable presentation. Charlotte, tell us what your thoughts are on his book.
Oh, I just love it. I can't believe he did it. He's absolutely a genius. I mean, I don't understand. He's made the subject of genetic manipulation, et cetera, understandable for people. I mean, it's something I always sort of avoided because it is a monstrous concept, huh? It's so monstrous that even the monster would find it monstrous. And that is what they're doing. These are wicked, bad, diabolical people. And they know what they're doing, and they know what they want, and it is not what any American, I don't care whether they're communist, socialist, capitalist, nothingist, you know, nihilist, no right-thinking person with two legs or four legs or animal could ever devise anything this utterly evil. And Jake has made it. He's sort of like taken, it's the recipe that he's turned into understandable for the average person, because I consider myself on this sort of thing very average. So all I can say is anyone who doesn't take advantage of this book just plain doesn't care.
Now this book is designed not just for parents. We want to make that clear. It's designed for everyone to understand how the mechanism was put together to take down the Republic. And it was done through the schools.
We did it. They did that. And now they've moved on to the last phase, which is really, it's not humane.
No, it isn't. No.
That's all I have to say. And anybody who ignores this book is not on my list of friends.
Well, what he's showing here, and it's right here in the notes, but the creation of the new Soviet, we could put hyphen American, Soviet American man here.
Yes.
This is it. We're creating the Soviet Americans.
That title was used years ago by some of our most brilliant researchers, and I believe it did come out of the Soviet Union, this new Soviet man, and all this baloney about the Soviet Union being dead, and they've got the Soviets to work with the Chinese to make it look like it's all Chinese. Well, yeah, sure it is, money-wise and all, right? But no, it will never be anything other than the Soviet Union.
Right.
And I'll lay my life on that. I mean, I can do that. I'm so old anyway. But I can just nobody can convince me that this talk coming out of the conservatives is anything but lying. They know very well that it's never been anything but the Soviet Union. You know, and then, I could get religious, go about Fatima, what she told the young children there. And, she asked, she never mentioned any country but Russia, and that it had to be converted. And the stinky Vatican, excuse me, Catholics, but, they just refused to listen to her request of those children, to consecrate Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And I never thought I'd be saying stuff like this on radio with you, Jeff, but that is very, very serious. And that is what should be done. And she said everything would be fine if that would be done. But that's another story in the church, how they have refused to do exactly what she asked to have done.
The Catholic Church runs the Jesuits, I guess.
The ones since Vatican II. Nobody makes that distinction, right? That's when the Jesuits went not just left, but right over the commie cliff. And that was Vatican II. prior to that, I have too many members in my family in Europe who are Jesuits. You know, have one had 50 years in the Belgian Congo as a missionary. And
wow.
That was rough times.
50 years?
And a wonderful
Jeez.
Man. So people yeah. who, you know, talk about the Jesuits the way they do and spread rumors and all these, you know, on the internet, I don't even listen to it. But, you know, people wouldn't question me on that because I'm not really an expert. They act like they are, but I don't think they are. It's the new Jesuits.
I think we need to make that clear. That's true.
Yeah,
and
that's right. And I can just tell you one story. My husband had a cousin who went through all the Jesuit training. Boy, it's rigid training. It's very intellectual training, and it's great training. And he became a Jesuit priest, and he was in the order in France for 2 years, and then he quit. Because they put him into something called the workers' movement, the priests' workers' movement.
The priests' workers'
right away
movement.
It was communism.
There's a tip-off. Yeah.
Yeah, he knew, and he got out. It's very tragic because he wanted to be a priest. He got out. He's married. He has a family now. But people better get it straight on that subject, you know, that I've got so many other subjects on my line that I can't.
Right.
You know,
let me go
I'm
back
really,
to Jake for just a minute here.
And then Jake, go ahead.
Yeah. Jake, what are you hearing from people who have read and appreciated your work of scholarship here, your book, School World Order? What are you hearing? What kind of feedback do you get?
Well, now that COVID's happening, I've been getting probably more feedback than I would have got. I've gotten positive feedback from friends and family who thought I was just a kooky guy with the, conspiratorial research. And now they're looking at all their kids sitting in front of screens 24 hours a day, some of them working on screens themselves with their own remote working, and kind of looking at me and calling and say, dude, all that stuff that you talked about is coming true. And then I've had teachers who, some of them that can tell exactly how rotten it is, but others that don't quite know what's going down, but they can tell that something is wrong. And, it's been a lot of good feedback, and a lot of people who have, you know, I guess reached out to me just to get my advice on, you know, some teachers as far as, to look at some of the software that they're using or some of the data mining programs that they're using and get my opinion. So the people like the book, and it looks like people are using it to actually, you know, do a little bit of activism and maybe, you know, get more involved in their kids' lives.
It gives them, from what I understand, it gives everybody a simple handle to hold on to understand this very sophisticated, long-planned mechanism, which has been forcibly installed on all of us. This is how they did it.
I just want to say this. It's about, 10 years ago, a young man came to our house beautifully, nicely dressed, you know, just a super articulate young man with a story that I couldn't hardly believe, but in regard to what Jake's research is, because he was involved in it, and he found out what it was all about, and his family happened to be big funders of it as a foundation. TMAP is what it's called. TMAP, George Bush Jr., he instituted this thing. And this young man, he was a Democrat. He was working on this program in Maine. And he read my book, I guess, and then he came to visit me. And he left a huge box of the most unbelievable research you've ever seen, copies of emails that he had with top people all around the country in regard pretty much to what Jake's talking about.
The TMAP program is the Texas Medical Algorithm Program, and it later would evolve. It was set up when Bush was governor, and it later would evolve into what became the New Freedom Initiative at the federal level. And so basically this was a move to use pharmaceuticals to help with students' mental health and their ADHD and things like that to help them I guess learn more effectively. One of the things that Cameron Gayle had found or had documented in the file I looked at was that some of the companies that are making the vaccine, such as Johnson & Johnson, were complicit with another pharmaceutical branch called Janssen Pharmaceuticals, and they were guilty of defrauding the Medicare or the Medicaid programs to assign off-label antipsychotics to kids in the schools for ADHD purposes. So they're using stuff like Risperdal to treat students' ADHD, and they were getting Medicaid to do it based on these algorithms that they'd written, and they'd use the algorithms to suggest that it was evidence-based. So instead of you doing placebo studies and other types of double-blind studies that you would do in a normal scientific test, they were running their own algorithms and then using these internally structured algorithms to, as quote-unquote, objective evidence, and then sending that off to get Medicaid payments. But if you look further down the file, he looks into how these pharmaceutical companies and this project is larger and does plug into the biotech companies and some of the other like big tech companies now, like IBM, and moving towards right not just pharmaceutical or chemical reengineering of the students, but also the biotech biological engineering. And we're kind of seeing something like that with the potential vaccines, which will be RNA vaccines, which means they're not just using the old fashioned
vaccines. They're nanotech additives to the human biosystem, and they're evil and they're dangerous. And how dare they call them vaccines? They're not. They don't even have virus isolated.
Let me tell you something. The extraordinary part of this is that he left me this box with this magnificently prepared, structured files, unbelievable tabs, like the Pentagon or somewhere had done it. He did this work. He found himself lying on the... You're going to like this one, Jake. Jeff, both of you. And I hope not for Jake's sake. He's been through this. Anyway, lying on the floor of his living room in Cape Elizabeth, outside of Portland, when he was in the middle of this, and he started making noise about it. He found himself lying there. He'd been out cold. They tried to poison him. And I got to know him very well. He wasn't the type that would ever say that anybody had tried to poison him. I'm not kidding you. He was a wonderful man. And the reason he was so shocked by what he was finding out was that his adopted parents that he worshipped were multimillionaires out of Michigan. And they were funding it. They were one of those tax-exempt foundations that Norman Dodd talks about, right? And so his own adopted parents were involved in this thing that, because he was complaining about it, showing signs of huge concern in the office where he was working here in Maine, of course, Jeff. They decided they had to take him out. So what he did was he came here, he talked to me. I didn't, it's so horrible. I couldn't understand basically what on earth they were doing, but it was clear enough. And he said goodbye, and he left this box. He gave us an address in another state and telephone number, and I tried to contact him. I never was able to find him again. So then I hadn't looked at the box. While I had it, I had so much going on in my own life. And then I finally did, and I realized this is hot. And then, of course, Jake, I saw the connection, so I gave the box to Jake. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely connected. Now, going back to little Charlotte, with her work, 15 years ago or so, whenever TMAP was set up, more now, I don't know what it would be.
But, Charlotte, hold it right there before you launch into this. I got to do a little break. People that make this program possible and remind all of you that these products, I use them and have for many years, they are essential. Be right back. Okay, welcome back. Talking with Charlotte and Jake about his book, The School World Order. You get it through Amazon. All right, Charlotte, go ahead. You're
all
just
right.
getting
well,
another.
Well, so what happened? What I want to say here is that about 20 years ago or so, I was working a lot with when Bush was governor of Texas.
Yeah.
That's quite a long time ago. Okay, that's about the time. And I remember they're having the reasoning for this TMAP, Texas program, right, was the black kids and minorities, I suppose, they were very upset about the increasing violence and crimes and all that were being committed by them. So they decided that it would be cheaper to medicate them, right? Excuse me.
Right.
So, yes. And that was the reason that they used, rather than having to pay for the prisons and all, they would do this research on them. That's how it started. I remember that. And I never forgot it, because I have a thing about the use of the minorities, always have, right? They use the minorities for every single damn thing that they want to put in this country that we wouldn't tolerate, right? And, like, we're watching it right now, you know, the stuff in the streets with the minorities, the minority of the minorities, right, who don't represent the minorities at all. But this is a case of the use of the minorities. They did it again, and now it's going to be everybody, of course. It is everybody. And so, anyway, my friend did disappear. I've never been able to find him. And he was a wonderful, wonderful young man. He'd be very happy to know that this information is coming out tonight, and
right.
along with Jake's, because they go together. Okay, that's enough from me.
Well, yeah, maybe I'll add to that. You know, Jose Delgado, Jose Manuel Rodriguez Delgado from Yale University, the guy that was the inventor of the first neural implant.
1950s.
Yes, yeah, late 50s. His projects were to, part of the uses were to, what he wanted to do was quell inner city riots. And so, you know, the same idea.
Huh.
And if you look at the policing reforms that they want to push through, and this relates to something called socio-emotional learning in the schools, so they can do the policing in the schools through the socio-emotional learning. The police reform, one of the things they want to do is, instead of sending a police officer to your house, they want to send a mental health counselor to your house. So, I mean,
sure.
it all pretty much goes together.
That's,
and you got
communism.
Elon Musk with...
Of course.
Oh.
Yeah, and the cops program. We lost somebody.
Yeah. Sure.
Who did we lose?
No, we're there.
Oh,
you're there, Jake.
Oh, no, I just stopped for a second.
Oh,
yep,
Jake,
sorry.
Stopped talking. But all of this is the cops program, too, you know, where the
you
police
betcha.
Are becoming forced to become
no
social
one else
workers.
But you have has talked
remember
about
when,
the cops
yeah,
program.
Remember when we talked about it when they had little ice cream carts and they were doing the hot chocolate for grandma and all in the community, in the cities?
Yes.
I've talked about it enough. Your listeners know, but nobody wanted to listen. Nobody wanted to look at the Gene Gang plan, that beautiful plan for our communities, right, with
mm-hmm.
all around. The police station is in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is run by the police and the unelected members of the community who are carefully selected, of course, right? Wouldn't be you or me or
right.
Jake. And anyway, it's all merging together. And that's why I think Jake's book is just, it's the whip, the dirty, filthy whipped cream on the whole mess. And people have got to buy it.
Well, I mean, that ties in with the whole idea of the public-private partnerships in the book. And, you know, what I saw is that charter schools and community schools alike, what they're moving towards is the merger of education with healthcare and criminal justice, including workforce training. So basically what you have is every sector of the economy fused into one institution managed by big data and technocrats. So it's pretty much exactly what we're looking at.
Yeah, I love this interview, by the way. I wish I were somebody who could call in and say, hey, I mean, this is we're putting it together tonight, Jeff. This is
sure.
what we're looking at.
Yeah.
And
it takes a while to grasp it. Charlotte, we will not recognize this culture and society in the
right.
next 5 to 10 years. It just won't be the same.
No, and
not
it
remotely.
Won't, certainly, if they're messing
no.
around with, look what's going to be in 20, 30 years, when they have, the brain has been completely restructured,
It'll be around to serve AI. That's it. It's going to be a servant class. We've lost the middle class. That was the plan. That's the communist plan.
That's right.
No
absolute plan. But I don't ever think anything, because I'm always the optimist, but I don't think anything is for sure about that. That's why I think this book of Jake's, although, you know, his work is so fantastic that it does require some mental capacity to deal with it. It's vital. Without that work, nobody really would have known what the game plan is with these utterly evil,
right,
satanic creatures such mm-hmm. as Bill Gates and Soros, and I could go on and on and on. They're utterly evil people, and that we're allowing them to craft the future for the greatest, freest, constitutional
republic literally.
The world has ever known.
And let's not stop at our own borders now. This is worldwide. This is truly
absolutely.
Worldwide.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
Oh, I could mention that, you know, I'm over here at Charlotte's and I'm digging around all our old files, and one of the files I found was one from a guy named Lawrence P. Grayson, who was worked in the Department of Education. He was part of he's head of technology, and he was a liaison with UNESCO. And I pulled open the file, and looking at it, basically what I saw was that Project VEST, Better Education Skills Through Technology, which is the project that Charlotte leaked when she was in the department, which demonstrated that they were going to do everything we just said, public-private partnerships and Skinner box technology.
Right.
If you look at the file that Grayson has here, he's got a stack of UNESCO documents, he's got a stack of academic journals, he's got a stack of stuff from the U.S. Department of Education, and then he also has a stack of law journals. And if you look at it all together, what you see is that Project BEST was just the American branch of a UNESCO program to create not just the Skinner box computer learning, but to push through video, what they were calling audio-visual conferencing at the time. And you see that in the journals, mm-hmm. all the companies were in lockstep with this international directive. And you see that in the law journals that the lawyers were changing the laws. So we're basically 40 years down the pipe, and we're getting installed what they've been planning for that whole time. So it's entirely international in scope, absolutely.
Well, Jeff, two J's, huh? When I got back, you know, I leaked the little, I wrote Back to Basics Reform. Now, Back to Basics Reform, which is still available, folks, at Amazon, it's the most important book. It's far more important, I think, than The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. Of course, it was boycotted immediately by the conservatives. Mm-hmm. Now, when I had the manuscript of it, Larry Grayson was a friend of mine in the department. He's a professional educator. He was the number one educator in charge of technology way back when they put the computers into Alaska. And as Jake gave you the background on him as well. Now, Larry, he was number one internationally on technology. Totally brilliant. People can look him up. Lawrence P. Grayson. He's still operating. He writes articles for various journals and all. And so he gave me, he looked at my book, Back to Basics. I felt very like a mouse, you know, a mouse who knew nothing. The mouse who, whatever, I was roaring, but I figured I didn't know a lot.
Mouse
and I'll show him my draft of Back mm-hmm. to Basics. And I gave it to him, and I said, you know, I'm reluctant. I don't know. Do I really know what I'm talking about? And he looked at it, and he read it, and he said, go with it.
Wow.
And I knew I had something that was really important, and I did. And the book is still available. It's at Amazon, or you can get it.
Do we need to reintroduce your book? Should we roll it out again, like a second edition?
The little one, Back to Basics Reform, is on my website. It's a free download. It's beautifully sort of redone. Back to Basics Reform or Skinnerian International Curriculum. And then I put a little asterisk, and I remember the publisher, Barbara Morris, said to me, you're going to put that on the front? And I said, yeah, because if they don't want to read the 39 pages, which is all it is, they'll just know because what it's all about. Because it said, and this, don't forget, boycotted from the minute it was seen. I gave a copy to Bill Bennett by mistake at a cocktail party, huh? Then it was boycotted. Bang! They didn't want any American to read that book. Hmm. And but it did get out, and it is extraordinary. When I look at it, I think, I didn't write that book. God Almighty wrote that little book. So I ask your listeners to get a copy. You know how much it costs? $10. And, of course, Deliberate Dumbing Down came later, because I was so upset because the Back to Basics had been boycotted by the conservatives. And I can tell you, I will swear in a Bible, that is what they did. These are the people that we've got to start worrying about them a little bit. I do worry about the left, but they tell the truth, unfortunately. We know what they're doing. But the right is doing far worse because they're lying.
Oh, my God, they're all
lying. The fact that they boycotted it.
This whole governmental superstructure is constructed upon the lie. It's all lies.
Absolutely. So we have
I don't care what label you're wearing. It doesn't matter. They're all liars.
Both parties are the same. Quigley said it, right? When his book, Tragedy and Hope, you know, he said they all got together. He was historian from the Council on Foreign Relations, and he wrote this huge, wonderful book, Tragedy and Hope. He says on page 1200 or something that the industrialists got together at the end of the late 1800s and decided how they would get world government in. They didn't know how they could get us to go for world government. Well, they'd have to control both parties at the top.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that when we go to the polls, here we go. Here we go again, right?
Right.
It doesn't make any difference who you vote for.
You can look at the World Economic Forum and some of the things they've been posting about their Great Reset, and you see some of these globalist corporations, and they're pushing for all this equity and basically acting like they're supporting the left-wing protesters. And in the meantime, you know, teaching with, you know, we know that most teachers are very left of persuasion, but they all identify as socialists, but none of them ask any questions or thinks twice about the fact that every day we're hooking up with Amazon and Google and Career Pathways. We're converting our college into basically a direct funnel into these big globalist corporations, but everybody still thinks they're socialists. You know what I mean? So you have fascism on the top and socialism in the bottom.
Right. It's a mess. But it's good to get the word out. This is a new level that we're at now, Jeff.
Oh, of course.
I mean, it's not new to you or me, but I think for your listener, yes, I don't blame them.
No, we're morphing into the next reality, the next normal, and it's not pleasant.
Yeah, we are. And I just have a feeling that I think COVID may be counterproductive in the long run. They've strung it out too long. You know, we're very tired of it. We're very tired of a different lie every day. And I see the European countries, and I don't usually say this because I get very mad at Europe because they were so pure, totally socialist. But all those countries, especially Germany, have had these huge demonstrations. And we haven't had any big ones, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with our country?
No, we don't.
Why are we not demonstrating?
Because
we're, as I said last time with you, we are spoiled brats. Lived through a real war.
I think there's more to it.
We don't know what it's like.
We're that, but there's more to it. I think, honestly, we are being victimized continually by technology. We don't know it. Radio
Jake's
frequencies, toxicity in the foods. You name it.
Nanotech. Look, the health industry. The vaccine situation. I mean, we in Maine, always Maine, right? Name it. Number one. We're always number one. We had the first hearings 2 years ago. It's going to be 2 years this coming January, where we went in regard to, they're trying to mandate, sticking the needle in all of our children, regardless of whether the parents want it or not, huh? We had the first hearings, and I knew something was really wrong because the homeschoolers were all left out in the snow, and they were, you know, sitting around in these outer rooms. They didn't get in to speak. They were first allowed to speak at 2 a.m. the next day after we had all these Center for Disease Control creeps and all these other so-called experts. You know, it was so disgusting, that hearing.
Yeah.
And then we tried to overrule what they did, and we won. And then they overruled us again, and now we've got another. I mean, it's gone on and on. Maine is so central to this evil, and then we've got that governor, you know about her, Janet Mills.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to. No, I don't have to talk about her.
Queen Mills.
All I have to say is, wake up. You know, I guess I'm naive. It is late, isn't it? But I always think something is good. I think Jake's book had to be done. It had to be done, but I don't know how he ever did it. He's quite a genius, and I don't know why he gets along with me. I don't have a mind that works like that. But we get along fine. We have a good time. Tango, right, Jake? We have a little tango going.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyway, I plead with you to go to Amazon. Just type in Jake Klysak.
Just type
World
in
Order.
School New. That's yes, it. Just do that. School World Order. That's all you have to type in, and it'll come right up.
Yep.
Very simple.
Now, what time is it? How much time do we have left?
We have 10 minutes left, Charlotte. And you and I wanted to talk a little bit about the state of so-called politics, I guess, where we're going. I get your views on this. You've looked at this for a long, long time. Many, many decades, and I want to get your sense of it. The controllers have already decided what's going to happen. We know that. The voting doesn't matter. It's just an exercise
to keep the
sheep.
Oh, no, it doesn't. I mean, it's
sheep.
Like what Quigley said.
No. Yeah.
I mean, the people, I always say, if you know, the house starts to burn down and I'm on the interview with you and I figure, oh, good grief, I got to get out of here. But I have one minute, and I just tell people what Quigley said. Hello, folks. Look.
Yeah.
What did they say the end of the last century? Oh, the other, you know, 1890s, huh? Had smoking their cigars, drinking their cognac. They had to get world government. And they knew they were going to have a lot of trouble because we had great Americans up until the year 2000 who've been fighting like mad. And they had to. They got so damn tired of us. Researchers, writers, the Don Bells, I could name the Ashford, my honor roll, right, at my website.
That's
all these
right.
people and more,
right.
I haven't even listed, who did this remarkable work, and we postponed this horrible future for all the listeners, myself and all, by 20 years we did. 20
I think
by
that's
20
a
years.
Very fair
but they
statement.
Got tired of us.
Yes.
So, you know what they said? I think I'm just making this up. They were having a meeting up on the 25th floor of Rockefeller Center. What are we going to do? We have to change the whole dialect, the whole dialogue. We've got to move from active opposition by these people that came before 2000, these great Americans, long before me, many are dead. We have to wipe that slate clean. So none of the young people coming along will ever know that there was this huge war being fought across the country by the Jeff Rentses of the world and others to stop world government. We don't want them to know that there was ever a peep. So we had to create this bizarre virus thing. I know, I want to write on this, because that's what's happened. So nobody is going to know that there was ever a problem before the year 2000 that we all knew. Lindbergh mm-hmm. started out talking about it, you know, after World War I.
He was such a great American.
That's right. And we've all fought this.
Mm-hmm.
I've known these great people. We've been fighting like mad at home. We were fighting while our boys were fighting abroad. And they don't want any of these young people or the future, you know, population of this country or the world to know that there ever was any history other than COVID.
They're changing. Speaking of history, these social media sites, Google, all the rest of them, are literally around the clock rewriting, changing, deleting the reality of our past. They're substituting
in
their
That's
own
exactly it.
Fiction. For history, it's not. Young people will not know the reality of history.
They
I don't blame them.
They don't
have a chance.
Know it. And it's luckily there's still libraries out there, and there are a lot of young people that They're good. The young people are far better than, I would say, up to 40 years old. There's a group there that is extremely bright. They're reading their history. They know what's going on, and they're great with technology, of course. So
right.
I still think there's hope. Because why would we have somebody like Jake coming along writing a book like this?
But Jake represents the fluke of brilliance that you're talking about. There is an element of younger people,
yes.
And they are so precious, and I wish they understood how important they are. They're going to have to literally at some point find a way to go back, dig up, and rebuild history as it essentially really happened. Because it's all being changed around the clock. You can't find history anymore in many cases when you do a Google search. Forget it. Use DuckDuckGo or any of the others, Bing. Use different search engines.
Well, we had a little rally yesterday against the governor here about COVID and all. And I just went and I got Patrick Henry because I'm a little bit lazy. I looked up Patrick Henry. I found out a lot about Patrick Henry I didn't know. It was really good. Wikipedia had a great thing on Patrick Henry. Give me liberty or give me death.
Sure.
And he was from Virginia, the assembly, and his views on all. Well, you can still find that stuff. And I would say for everyone listening in, they should encourage their grandchildren. You know, when they're visiting or something, just say, come here and listen to this. I'm Grandpa. I want you to read this and tell me how you understand this. Because
yeah.
This is being taken away from you. There's still enough there.
I agree.
Even though they can't read, you know.
True. They can't. Grammar, syntax, gone.
Oh, they don't know anything about grammar. But they can listen to Grandpa and Grandma.
Well, as long as
the majority of them won't want to, right? But there is a percentage there of our young people that will. They will listen, especially if it's, you know, you can craft it in a way that is fascinating. Our history is absolutely incredible. And I want to, you know, the last thing I say, my Egyptian friend, the press attaché, when I was working in Middle Eastern affairs, at luncheon, I always talk about this because it's important. And he got to the point where he bored me because there wasn't one luncheon where he didn't say, every country in the world should be using the United States Constitution. It's the most brilliant piece of paper that was ever written. And that's
Agreed.
The truth.
Oh, sure.
That's coming out of the mouth of an Egyptian.
Well, that's a remarkable statement. See, it's recognized by brilliant people around the world for what it is. The most extraordinary document
that
humankind ever crafted.
Amongst us, I mean, I'm pretty good on it, but a lot of people, you know, are the experts on the Constitution who we know, and they're doing great work. But it was taken out of the history, United States history, long ago. They don't teach anything about it. So we've got to bring it back. I mean, it's not the end yet. We're in the last chapter for sure. And
correct.
It's up to the people, your listeners, you know, listeners on other shows and all. And
right.
It's up to us now to fight. We're not. Why give up? Because we've got these two-legged monsters running around in our cities, mm-hmm. destroying our statues and everything. And we just look at it on the nightly news, and nobody does a bloody
thing
about it.
No, something's wrong here, and I think it's technology. I think it's toxicity in the food. I think there are chemicals and other hormonal agents. We know in Europe, they put oxytocin in the dairy products to make the Europeans feel warm and fuzzy about all these invaders from the third world, from Africa and the Middle East,
that
were being airlifted into the midst of their cultural heritage. And they accepted it because they now, I think they've learned. But that's
one
of a number of things.
Sam and I were in Belgium about 10 years ago in the Flemish area, Louvain. And they had all these plastered, you know, things on these beautiful old medieval buildings in the city. And they put up all this crap, excuse my language, but about being kind to the immigrants. And my husband's nephew, who's been brainwashed, right, completely, And Sam was with me, too. And he was saying, oh, you know, isn't it wonderful? You know, you've got this lovely cathedral. Here we got this cathedral with all this stuff plastered on it about how we've got to let all these people come in here and all these pictures of the immigrants and everything. And so this nephew of my son's, my husband's, says, oh, this is wonderful. That's the education they were giving these kids, you know, him. He's right. Now about 40. And Sam said, are you crazy? What are they doing? He was mad because it was covering up a beautiful cathedral. Hmm? And this has been, I mean, they're brainwashed over there, too. But why are they doing something about COVID? They seem to understand that. Every single country in Europe has been having demonstrations against it.
Oh, they know. Thousands and tens of thousands of people have signed petitions, agreements. They've been out in the streets. What did they have, 1 million in Germany in the streets at one day or something?
Yes, they did.
Shame on America.
Why don't we
have
this here?
No, shame on us. Because we're being kept down. There are many tricks, technological and I think certainly of a chemical nature, being used to pacify the public. I really believe that. We've got to say goodnight. We're out of time.
I know.
Jake, thanks for being here. Congratulations on your book. Let's hope it climbs up even higher. School World Order. Thank you, Jake.
Yep. You
be
much,
well.
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you very much, everybody, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, sweet Charlotte. Good night. You be well.
Bye.
Okay. All right, that's hour one. We're going to pause and come right back with another one for you. Stay tuned.